confluence of technology and personality resides a select group of individuals. Those individuals are known as technologists, and they put their thoughts on the line for you.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody around the world listening to this episode of On the Line from Cohesity. My name is Chris Colati. I'm joined once again with my colleague, Patrick Redknapp. How you doing, Patrick?
Not bad. I was esteemed last time, but I've obviously lost.
Yeah, you've lost the esteem tag for many, many reasons, and anybody who knows you knows why. We've actually brought on a good friend of ours from days past, Christian Mohn. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, good, good. After a year and a half on the home office of solitude, it's interesting. But yeah, generally good. Yeah,
yeah.
Forget going in the right direction.
There's no fortress of solitude. I like that, home office of solitude. Yeah. So we actually decided, based on the time that this this particular episode will probably air, to do a little bit of a pre-VMworld 2021 roundtable with the three of us, because the last time actually the three of us on this call were together at an event. We just did the math prior to hitting the record button. Was about on or about October 2019. At VMworld EMEA, and that was actually, I think I actually came across, there was a, I don't have any of the chocolate left, but I made out really well getting chocolate that year. Everybody bought me some European chocolate, but we're coming up on 2021, which, you know, we're well over a year, and it is going to be virtual again this year. They announced it early on, and I think we wanted to go around the horn a little bit and kind of talk a little bit about what we think our expectations might be this year. You know, do we think anything's going to change? I don't have any inside information as to platforms or how they're doing anything. Maybe we can start with Christian and just go around, like, talk a little bit about last year. What did you do during the week of VMworld? You know, obviously it was very different, but for you personally, and then we'll kind of go to Patrick, and then I'll give my two cents.
Yeah, sure. It's hard, you know, it's sitting in front of a screen doing video, pre-recorded video, I guess it's kind of hard to get into actually paying proper attention to it. So especially now, I don't think that'll be any better this year, because all of us has now been staring at cameras and screens for a year and a half. And we were supposed to do that for 8 hours a day during the VMworld week as well. It doesn't make any difference in a way. It's the same old, same old. You're consuming someone else's content, looking at it on a screen, which doesn't replicate the actual physical world experience of being at VMworld at all. So I'm not trying to be overly negative about it, but it's different, and it's different in not a good way.
So there's a lot of people, and Patrick, maybe you can jump in on this and give your opinion, but also I'm looking at the other side. There's a lot of people who lash you when this happened. They're like, yay, virtual. I never want to go to another event again. And it doesn't seem like there's any middle of the road. Like there's a faction on the right that's don't ever want to go into anything because I don't like people. I actually have a shirt that says I hate people. Somebody gave it to me. I don't know why. But then there's the other flip side, which is I can't wait to go network. Like, and I think way back, like when this happened, we talked to I'm drawing a blank. It's in one of the past episodes, but we actually did an episode on the hallway track, right? How important the hallway track is and just the networking piece. But Patrick, where do you think some of the mentality of just I don't care if I ever go to another event comes from? And people are just so willing to sit constantly, to Christian's point, in front of their computer, you know, day in and day out. Like if I don't walk away from mine by 5:30, I'm done. Like my eyes are tired, everything, you know, my brain hurts. But where do you think that's coming from?
I think it depends on how you as yourself apply yourself and experience conferences, because everyone does something different when they go to a conference. Everyone has a different kind of route. You almost have a routine, and when you go to a conference, this is how you do it. And you know, for me, it was very much, I turn up, and when I've turned up already, I've got like a chat, whether it's a WhatsApp or Messenger with a bunch of people I know, and there's a round robin, and people are going to meet up and network, and you're going to kind of meet up with the people that you haven't seen for the whole year that you know are going to be there, And there's that social aspect to it as well. And you've obviously got your timetable for what you've got to do for work. And you've got all these holes that you fill in sometimes on the fly. And or sometimes you've got scheduled. And with the I feel like very much people get not everyone has it that way. And a lot of people, especially when they say I don't want to go to another conference, it's whether or not they have the routine that they look forward to, but also it's sometimes a location as well, because like some people with Las Vegas, VMware Vegas, they turn up and they're like, oh god, I hate Vegas.
Well, it got old, but now I'd kill to go to a decent restaurant in Vegas right now.
I think if they said, oh, actually we're going to change it, it's in Vegas now, I think everyone would go.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my hope is, and I think I said this last year in one of the podcasts that actually was released before this one, it should be, I won't say who the guest is, but hopefully you listen to it. He actually, we asked him about platforms. We said, hey, you know, why hasn't anybody developed a platform in over a year to better this? It almost seemed like, look, I'm an idea guy. Like, we're all idea people. I can't execute on shit, but I come up with a lot of ideas. But at the end of the day, like, why hasn't somebody developed a really good, you know, virtual platform that incorporates it? And I think way back, Patrick, you were on this podcast, and it's sort of repeating a little bit, but we said we could all sit in front of a gaming console with a headset on, you know, talking to 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 friends, watching our avatar walk around and, you know, in inside an immersive world. But when we come to these virtual events, we're still sitting in front of two screens with, to your point, Christian, recorded content. Did you actually present last year, Christian? I don't remember. Did you have a session? You didn't, but you've presented in the past, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I'll say one of the things that I struggled with a lot was not actually watching the recordings, but actually being somebody who had to produce one of the recordings. Since you didn't do it, and you don't have the experience of it, what would you feel would, and I could tell you what the actual happened, but you know, if you had to go do a recording this year, and then submit the video, you know, how would you deal with that? Like, what would your process be? Because we've obviously all come further than we did last year with equipment and stuff like that, but it changes the game. I mean, when you present, are you rehearsed or are you sort of off the cuff? Like, how would that mess with your routine and your rhythm of presenting?
I have a really hard time producing video. Seriously hard time doing that. I've recorded a bunch of demo videos for ProAct now. For our hybrid cloud offering, kind of small 5-10 minute videos showing some kind of feature or whatever. And I have to re-record those time and time again, because usually when I present, I prepare a deck, which is my kind of pathway through the presentation, and I don't rehearse anything other than basically my bullet points or whatever. And I do it off the cuff right there and then. So once I have a script in front of me that this is the things I need to say, and if I write that out with actual words, I stumble in them each and every time. So what I ended up doing now for those demos was actually, at first I tried recording the demos at the same time as I spoke over them and explained what I did. That didn't work at all. But I can do a live demo on stage, no problems, right? But in front of a camera and a video camera and recording, I just messed it up. So I ended up with actually recording the video content of the demo and then doing voiceovers instead. And that was an easier process for me to actually get through them. So I would imagine if I was supposed to do a 45 minute or an hour VMworld talk, that would be a pretty daunting task for someone who stumbles in their own words as there's a camera there.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. I'm very similar. I went to the school of presenting that that basically is what's on the slide is just basic information. And what you're talking to is the important part, right? It's the slide is the visual aid, if that makes sense. It's not the content. It's not the detail. And my biggest thing was the lack of interaction. I like to engage with an audience. I really, you know, I usually start out presentations asking a couple of questions, you know, kind of gauging, you know, do a little quick survey, kind of get the lay of the land. And you can't do any of that. It's just a black hole. Outside of that, the technical challenges we had last year, were just, Patrick knows this. I mean, I was ready to throw video equipment out the window because, you know, we did all this work. Like for me, we actually had a third party company send a kit, a video kit, because at the time I didn't have the setups that we have now. And, you know, it was basically a video kit in a box, and they were remotely controlling it. They were actually, you know, splicing stuff in, they were doing all this other stuff. And there was one sent to, you know, my co-presenter. So that there was like, it was kind of interesting how they did it. But at the end of the day, like, we submitted all the video and literally the people reviewing it were like, well, yeah, you need to change this, this, and that. And we're like, you can't, like, the kit's gone. Like, we shipped it back. We can't edit this. Like, what you have is what you have. It was so frustrating as a presenter for them to come back and say, well, we don't like this, and you have to change that logo and that icon. Like, but with the editing part is done. Like, there's no way to put us back on camera to redo it.
I think correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't time? Weren't you told, oh, you have to change the title too? And we're like, well, we referenced the title in the whole thing all the way through it.
Oh no, I'll give you one better. Somebody at the conference of the conference side changed our title in the catalog without asking us. After it had been produced, recorded, submitted, approved, everything. And myself and our co-presenter went back and we fought the battle. We're like, no, you can't, like, this thing's already done. It's produced, it's submitted, it's post-processed, it's edited. We're not changing the title. Therefore, you're not changing the title. Like, I was it's the first time in 15 years of presenting at VMworld that anybody ever just arbitrarily changed the title on me and said, oh, this is your new title.
Yeah, and that would actually work if it was a live thing. You just jump into the presentation and just change the title.
Change the slide. Yeah, I mean, but when it's all pre-produced, and this stuff all had to be done months ahead, right? Because we had to get the gear, we had to do all this other stuff. So I agree with you. I think and we talked about it last year, there's two sides to it. There's a presenter side and there's the attendee side. I struggled with both. So Patrick, what was your experience, you know, last year with VMworld, and what are you hoping for this year?
So, I mean, last year, I mean, obviously the content catalog went live, and it was just a case of you'd already put your wish list or whatever that your viewing list in. And then there were some that were already pre-recorded, some that were live, and I guess you just went through it. But I kind of found that if it was already pre-recorded, I could just check it out later, and it wasn't really something that I would interact with straight away. If there was a live presentation or something, it was still available later anyway.
And when is later, really?
Later is whenever. I mean, you can still go and see it now, I think.
Yeah, but have you actually gone back and watched them?
I think out of the ones I selected to go back and look at later, I think I watched two, maybe, out of maybe 10. Exactly. So this is a thing. You don't go back and see it all. No. I did jump on the community Discord. I didn't actually use the VMworld community channels because it was Second Life or something like that. VMug had up as well, but I didn't do that. I just literally went on the, there was a community run Discord and interacted through that. But that was pretty much my experience for VMworld. So it was very kind of a weird way to do it. And it, to be honest, I'd have much preferred, I prefer being at the event, to be honest. I didn't, like you said, there's no
well, it's like for I said, it. There's it's split almost 50-50 from what I've seen. The people who would rather be there in person, the ones who would rather consume it online. And for me, it's an attention span problem. Like, I have the attention span of a gnat, right? I make no bones about it. We're all ADHD and OCD and pick an acronym, right? But I think what I found that I didn't actually log in anything. And part of it was because I was still home, and I'm going to try to articulate this, and maybe it makes sense. I was still home and I was still working from home, which meant I didn't actually block the week for VMworld as if I was getting on a plane going there and I had to set up the booth and do all of the normal stuff, go to sessions, do presentations, where I was actually out of the office, right? Like, my out of office would normally have been on that said, hey, I'm gone. I'm at a trade show. How many people listening to this, I wonder, actually turned on their out of office, like actually treated it? Because it's the only way I could see it working. I mean, Christian, what do you think? Like, if you actually said, hey, told your boss, I'm attending VMworld, I'm not available, clear your calendar, and actually spent the time during the day to go to all the sessions versus having your work email up on, and everybody multitasks even during sessions, right? We always see people at laptops and they're doing a small amount of work compared to if you're sitting at your desk, at your home office with your phone and everything else, because you know, most people won't take a phone call in a session. they're gonna mute their phones.
I actually tried doing that last year. But the problem is, even if I do that, my coworkers, my boss and whatever, they know I'm home looking at a screen anyway. So it's not like he's in Las Vegas or Barcelona. I'll just call him anyway, right?
Right.
So the threshold...
They're not even dealing with the time zone change, right? Like,
right. So the threshold for someone else in your own company, knowing that, okay, he's blocked his time for VMworld, but he's physically in Norway anyway, the threshold for contacting me is a lot smaller, right? So you get the interruptions even if you actually try to block out the time. And that's... it's the whole thing of kind of... I mean, all of those sessions combined into a couple of days when you're not physically there and you can watch them later and never do, that's a kind of a sleeping pillow as well, right? Because you can always postpone something and get back to it. If you actually go somewhere and physically attend the conference, you can't really take that back, even though you can watch some of the sessions later on.
If you then, correct me if I'm wrong, even when it was live, the sessions weren't available like the same day. They were always available after the event closed, yeah. Right? There was, right. You had to wait like a week or something. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about setting the expectation, right? I think when you have the expectation that you can watch them anytime, anywhere, because they've all been pre-recorded, you know, as of the start date. And to your point, life happens, right? I think there's this misunderstanding that from the organizers in a way that says, well, people will go back and watch it later. Well, crap happens.
They intend right? I never do.
It's not that you don't have the intent, right? The intent might be there, but you got work stuff that comes up, vacation.
Yeah. I have a long list of VMworld presentations that I want to watch dating back to like 2018 or something.
Yeah, those
that
are,
list
those
just
all,
grows.
Those are old
right?
now.
Yeah, but I mean, the list grows and I never go back to them in reality, right? So...
Yeah,
so there's that, and then for me also, especially the whole hallway track that you mentioned. I mean, I used to spend that VMworld week, especially in Barcelona, which is where I've usually gone, talking to people. That's what I do, right? I wouldn't attend that many sessions anyway, because I would spend more time speaking to Patrick or you or whatever, whoever I met that I haven't seen in an or two, right?
Right.
And hang around on the bloggers lounge with the other VA experts and get to know new people and meet old friends and everything. That's a way, way more important part of that for me than the actual technical content of the conference. And I can honestly say I wouldn't be where I am right now if I hadn't attended VMworld in Copenhagen in 2010, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be where I am if I hadn't attended VMworld in Los Angeles in 2006, 2007. Holy, now I really am dating myself.
Yeah, you're going back a while. I'll tell you what, actually, though, literally VMworld for me, as a consultant, is where I get all my work from. I go around, I speak to people. It's actually a career enabler. Mm-hmm. I originally, when I started working in IT, I would go to conferences, speak to people, network, and that's how I would get the next client down the road, and it would happen, and then that client person who you met goes to another company and so forth. Especially the solutions exchange, going around, walking around, you go to a booth, you talk to someone. Next year, they're at a different company, and you go, "Oh, it's you."
Well, that's actually a whole different point, Patrick. I mean, I think we've talked about the hallway track before, where it's, you know, catching up with old friends or catching up with old colleagues, but. But I know, I mean, there's three of us on here that can attest to, we've used VMworld as a job hunt, you know, actually, you know, not just networking to meet new people, but actively searching for work. I mean, when I was in between a partner and going to work for VMware, I was doing interviews. I went to VMworld on my own dime, and I was actually scheduling interviews there, right? So that's a huge component. And we've never even explored that from a conversation perspective before, which is, you know, the people who are actually either out of work or trying to find work or trying to get involved, you know, get into a company. That's all lost too. Like I don't even know how you replace that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where I think the 50-50 split comes into it as well. You have those people who are, sounds like all of us really, right? that go there to actually connect with other people, talk to them, get to know, job hunting, whatever, right? And then you have the other half that are there to just consume the content that the event producer has given them. And if that's your only intention, you can watch those online and be happy with it, right? But if your intention is to do something more out of it, to grow your network or something like that, you can't do that by passively watching the presentations done by someone else.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. That's why there's no middle. I have yet to meet a person who does both, who either goes to any event, whether it's VMworld or physical event, that says, I'm just there, I'm half there for the content and I'm half there for the job search or the networking or what. It's usually like way more heavily weighted to one side or the other. Yeah. Like it's like everything else. Everything turns into a two-sided system.
Yeah.
But I personally haven't met anybody who's right down the middle, that they spend a good part of their time doing both. Everybody seems to have like that bend the tree in one direction mentality.
Yeah, well, some of it, you just get it even if you weren't searching for it. It was always just there, it became part of your journey. And whether or not that was considered with the digital platform now, I don't know. I think it was just a case of getting the content out there, and you've got the general session, you have the solutions keynotes, but you don't have the networking element of it. Like to jump back to the previous podcast that we had, we were talking about, it would be nice just to be in some sort of like Call of Duty lobby or something like that, the lobby area where you could just...
I would join that. Like I spend hours gaming. Like I can't believe nobody's like figured that part out. But even for us, Patrick, like just for our roles, let's be fully transparent. For the last year without trade shows, our specific roles at Cohesity was a little bit of a struggle, because a good part of our job was not just attending to present. We were doing the booth setup. We were managing the booth demos. We were handling, we owned all of that, right? So when those went away, like we kind of looked at our job role and said, well, this whole chunk, like 20-30% of what we do just disappeared, right? So how do we backfill that? And we've kind of had this little bit of a roller coaster ride, but now that it's all coming back, like that stuff's going to start funneling back in a little bit. We're already getting word that there is going to be some physical shows with AWS, and there will be booths and there'll be some of this other stuff. But I think there's more than just us that were in that boat, that people think about all the field marketing people that were coordinating. I mean, you must have them at ProAct, right? You guys have people who sign the contracts and deal with the booths, and those people probably got in the US maybe furloughed or let go and then hired back, or they're starting to get hired back. But there was a bigger impact to it. I think there was people's jobs were affected in a way that I don't think we understand.
there's a lot of ramifications by this, right? I mean, every time a conference of 20,000 people doesn't get scheduled as usual, something happens around that area where it's supposed to be scheduled as well, be it hotels and bars and
the surrounding venues, right?
The three of us have spent a good chunk of money in bars in Barcelona, right? So, and then
I never spend any money in bars in Barcelona. Right.
Well, Cohesity has spent a good amount of money on me in a bar in Barcelona. That's something else.
I think what you're getting at is the surrounding economics, right?
Yeah,
the supporting staff of the venues, like the servers and all these other jobs that just went poof.
Yeah, gone.
Well, so I think it'll be good to have them come back personally. It'll be interesting to see how VMworld moves forward this year. I know Cohesity is a sponsor again. We will have two recorded sessions an hour long. So we went from two total to three. So we actually have two recorded and one live. So they are actually doing some live sessions. The live session is only 20 minutes though. So we're trying to figure out like what to do with the live one. That one could still be fun, because at least it's live. The only challenge will be, and I have yet to ask this question, because they're doing it all in the same week. Well, who's going to do the live version for, the ANZ hours? Or the EMEA hours? Because I think last year, did they do it across two time zones or did they do three?
They did three time zones. It was
So but with the recordings, they basically played it, at this slot US time, this slot EMEA time, and then that's another slot ANZ time, right? So for the live one, not for nothing. You don't want to see me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, this year it's weird. It's kind of they do the Americas first, and then it kind of goes over to Asia Pacific, and then it clicked over to EMEA, and it's meant to nonstop, but it doesn't.
Maybe really, by the time this airs, I'll have a better answer. But as of the time we're recording this, I have no answer on the live one. But yeah, at least they've actually got the one live one in there, which would be good.
We're kind of looking into locally here, see if everything pandemic wise allows it. We might do a local event during VMworld to kind of get customers and stuff like that centered in one place. And we can do the live streaming of the keynotes and whatever, and kind of try to make our own kind of physical happening thing happen at the same time. So kind of use VMworld as a gathering point for local customers in Norway to have a...
That's actually not a bad idea. Maybe I'll bring that up to our field marketing team. I mean, we're starting to open up the West Coast is starting to open up with the headquarters, and you know, we've got plenty of floors there. But that would be an interesting concept to actually allow some customers to come.
Have local people meet up locally, right?
HQ or something. Yeah,
I was discussing that because you know I usually do the V Rockstar kickoff party in Barcelona. So I basically was saying, well, maybe I could hire out a pub in London and have it on a big screen or something, and just have it coming up. And then people can come and have a mixer at the same time. So it's kind of the social element, because we should be opened up by now here in the UK by then. So it should be doable.
Are they going to let me in, though? Because if they let me in, I'll fly. I'll come over to the UK. I still haven't been.
I know. We never got you over here, did we? We keep trying. But yeah, I think that would be a good one to do, because I think it would be kind of a middle ground, even like you said, regional, for you do your own. Yeah. You have one in Norway, you have one in, and I think it's what it might be a way of doing it. I had discussed it, but it's just only been a discussion so far with Marco.
Well, it's a stepping stone, right? And you've given me, now you're giving me some ideas that we can talk about here in the US too. I mean, anybody could do something similar, right? It doesn't matter where the region is, but get a room, get a hotel or a bar or something, get a projector, decent internet, and kind of have live viewing parties, for lack of a better term, for at least the keynotes or some of the sessions, and then turn it into a one day, you know, kind of networking event where I'm wondering, Patrick, if we can combine this with a user group thing with some of the, you know, the upcoming Cohesity user group stuff. But the wheels are turning, and this is kind of why I like these podcasts, right? Because I never even thought of just doing a stepping stone, right? It's a way to get to the final thing.
I'm surprised VMUG haven't come up with maybe doing something like this. They could have just had VMUGs all on the VMworld day instead of it. Yeah.
So that's one of the things we've been discussing here. I'm one of the VMUG leaders in Norway as well, and see if we can combine those things. And I work for Proact, who's a Cohesity partner, right? So perhaps we could actually involve Cohesity in doing that locally in Norway as well, and create something out of that as a kind of bringing back some of the social stuff. Even though we don't get to gather everyone from around the world, we can actually try to gather around the local people at least. And then we as a company, we could do our own kind of presentations locally at the same time, and trying to make a mini.
Yeah, mini. I don't think you make it a week long. I don't think you stretch out for the whole week. I think you pick a day, like the first day, and you align it with the keynotes that are going to be presented at the right time for that region.
Exactly.
This is a conference room or a bar, wherever, just do it.
We're starting our VMworld planning calls, and I'm going to bring that. I'm going to have already brought this up by the time it airs. This is a little weird because, you know, where I feel like I'm in the future right now. But no, we may actually have something here. So let's hope by the time this airs, we actually have some of that stuff happening, and maybe we'll do a follow-up after VMworld or actually we can maybe do a Cohesity View live stream. Just before, Patrick, we'll look at some other mediums, because we have some ways to do that, or we can couple it with the user group. But I think we've kind of hit some stuff coming up on time. But this actually took a turn that I like. We actually came up with some ideas versus just, you know, being three guys on the porch yelling at the kids to get off the lawn for another year. So any kind of final thoughts, Christian? I can't wait till we can see each other again. You better have chocolate for me. That's all I can say. So.
Yeah, I did. I did last time though. So
I know that was a big chocolate bar too. Okay, my wife was very happy, and when I sent her the picture, she was like, "You cannot touch that till you get home."
you guys don't have good chocolate in America. It's just one of the
Well, kind of. I mean, you got Ghirardelli, and you got a couple others, but it's all mainstream now. It's not the same. But Patrick, any last thoughts from you or?
I think, you know, I think that it's going to happen in some way, shape or form. I think the only way to start doing this is to do local events. And I think that, you know, that's going to bring that element back. Obviously, VMworld is what it is for the minute. It looked a lot more condensed than it was last year based on what I've seen on the site. But I guess we'll wait and see. And
let's all commit to explore that local thing, because it would be cool to actually have a post VMworld with other people, maybe bring a larger group on, you know, 8 or 9 people onto a video call, and if of people who organized them, and actually talk about how they went. That'd be kind of a cool follow up. So
yeah.
Thanks for listening to this latest episode of Cohesity on the Line, and subscribe to the channel, subscribe to YouTube, and we'll be back with another episode probably around VMworld timeframe or actually after the event.